What a day indeed. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I feel almost like I'm doing something wrong to talk over Miss Erica Badu. Wow. So we are in the middle of my discussion of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. And I just want to take a moment, and I'm going to first thank my producer, Cardi, for asking me a couple of questions in the chat while we were on break to say this. If you immigrated here and have been naturalized, if you are a citizen, Donald Trump cannot take that away from you. Okay, so if your parents were immigrants or you immigrated here and you have become a citizen, Donald Trump can never take that away from you. And I also want to give a shout out to one of our texters online. Dave from New Berlin asked me this question also during the break. Hey, didn't SCOTUS just rule the Supreme Court of the United States just rule that the president doesn't have to follow the law? So does the Constitution even matter anymore? Like, would it constrain him, you know, trying to strip citizenship away from people who have immigrated here and become citizens, or people whose parents were immigrants and were born here and are citizens? So while the Supreme Court declared effectively that presidents are kings and cannot be criminally prosecuted for any official acts, or, and I'm getting into some of the technical stuff here, like the outer bounds of official acts that are executed while they are in office, that ruling does not mean that the president can wipe away the Constitution or that the president can take away individual constitutional rights and freedoms and violate people's constitutionally protected rights and freedoms and get away with it, at least in concept. So I just want to make that very clear right now. Carl from Eau Claire also has a question. Hey, would someone who is a native Mexican that is married to an American need to be worried about this? If that person has not been granted full citizenship and does not have legal status, yes, that is what the Alien Enemies Act is targeting. People who are natives of any country other than the United States. And from Donald Trump's conceiving of this, calling migration coming from Central and South America an invasion, that's what he's trying to say. This is a well-known misreading of the Alien Enemies Act, right? The MAGA movement says that, basically makes this argument that this act can be used in broad response to everything from illegal narcotics trafficking across borders, which Donald Trump name-checked yesterday in his inaugural, up to and including people that are simply here unlawfully. They don't have legal status, but have committed no crime. So they view it as this like turbocharged deportation authority. But I'm here to tell you that that reading goes against centuries of legislative, presidential, and judicial practice as it relates to the Alien Enemies Act, which make it very clear that this is a wartime authority and that, again, invoking it in peacetime, meaning not a declared war with Mexico or Venezuela or Guatemala or any of these countries, would be an incredibly staggering abuse. Now, why is it an abuse? What's constitutionally complex or conflictual about trying to use it in that way? Even if you believe that there is a, quote, invasion of some kind coming across our southern border. By the way, illegal border crossings at the lowest level over the past year, lower than they were at the lowest level during the Trump administration, just by the way. The Fifth Amendment of our Constitution protects not only U.S. citizens, but anyone here against discrimination and rights violations perpetrated by the federal government based on suspect classifications like race and ancestry, right? So it's a Fifth Amendment violation. And that's because the Alien Enemies Act discriminates against immigrants based on their country of citizenship. And more broadly, their ancestry. Again, that's why the use of native in the Alien Enemies Act is important. The Alien Enemies Act also violates our right to be free from indefinite civil detention, which was a right recognized, a constitutional right recognized by the Supreme Court in 2001 in a case called Zadvydas versus Davis, if you're keeping track. Zadvydas versus Davis. I'll always bring the wonk for you. Fundamentally, here's the point, right? And I'm bringing it full circle here. It is not okay when, even when we feel afraid, even when we feel our security is threatened, to cease the American value of judging each individual based on their actions, especially when it comes to taking away your right to liberty, right? Like, we don't approach these issues and say, well, this race of people or this group of people, because they happen to be from this place, I can lock them up for as long as I want. That is about as anti-American as you can possibly get. So that is the problem here. Now, I want to all let you all know this. I'm going to bring us around to some hopefulness today. I don't want to leave us in a place of despair. So please stick with me. I'm going to get to the hopeful read, the hopeful, the light. You know, it is always darkest before the light. So without resorting to cliche, I promise you, before the end of the show today, I'm going to get us to some hopefulness. But here is the bridge. Here is the through line between Donald Trump name-checking the Alien Enemies Act in his inaugural and the January 6th pardons. And I want each and every one of you that are listening right now to look deep into your heart and answer this question. If your skin were a color that is not white, if you were to speak with a slight accent, would you feel safe in the middle of all of those folks that were storming the Capitol on January 6th? Would you fear, even if you are a citizen, if you are a citizen that happens to have non-white skin, who happens to speak with an accent, would you be afraid that those people who beat police officers, who have now been pardoned by Donald Trump, might consider themselves the vengeful arm of MAGA and Donald Trump, that you might be afraid that they might believe themselves deputized by Donald Trump to violate whatever law they choose and cause you harm because they have now decided they can protect the United States better than law enforcement. And we know that this has been happening at the southern border. Look into your hearts that because of someone's race or the language that was their first language, that we have now given comfort to those who will violate our laws when they don't like them or when they think someone is a quote-unquote threat to our country, without due process, without the arm of our legal system operating, that they have now been deputized to become judge, jury, and yes, if needs be, executioner. Is that not the message that Donald Trump has now sent to every single MAGA supporter, especially those who have already said they are willing to break the law and commit heinous acts of violence against not a black or brown person with an accent, but a law enforcement officer with a badge. Because I can tell you sitting here today, that seems to be the message that Donald Trump wishes to convey, at least one of them. In addition, it seems to me that Donald Trump is leaning into the idea that there are two systems of justice or two legal systems in this world. And I've always defined them not by Republican or Democratic, but by who has power, access, money, and influence. That there's one system of justice for people that have power, access, money, and influence. And another system of laws for folks that don't have money, access, power, and influence. And isn't Donald Trump also saying with the January 6th pardons that if you are willing to do for me, I will give you that influence and access. I will make sure that you do not get exposed to that other system of accountability and justice, that you will be, like me, above the law. Folks, what do you think? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. John, you're up first. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir? John, are you there?
John, you're on the line.
All right, we'll give John another crack in just a moment. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're on the air. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Yeah, you're precisely right, and I texted you that I think the reason my name, I'm half German, I think the reason our name is pronounced Kiechler rather than Kuechler, from my, you know, they changed the U to a, from a U to a U in the immigration when my great-grandfather came over, is precisely the anti-immigrant attitude that was prevalent when he came over. I mean, there's a point in time where the Germans were considered undesirable or the Italians were considered undesirable. Now, plus the fact my great-grandfather was Catholic, that was another strike against him back in the day, and it's just ridiculous. I can envision churches declaring sanctuary for immigrants and armed forces, you know, breaking down church doors and hauling the immigrants away. I mean, it is just, it's terrifying that, and with these pardons that Donald Trump gave to these people who were not gently beckoned into the Capitol by the police on January 6th, they stormed the Capitol, broke down doors, violated the law, violated the Constitution, and Donald Trump pardoning those people is just an affront to American jurisprudence and to democracy itself. I mean, he is.
I agree, Mark. Want to get some additional callers in here. I've got a dissenting voice on the text line, 414, texting in on WAUK, says this. How many police officers were hurt during the BLM riots? A lot more than January 6th, a lot more. Whomever you are, a texter, I challenge you, tell me which person who committed a crime during the BLM movement and was engaging in criminal activity or attacking a police officer. Tell me which person was indicted by a jury, tried before a jury, convicted by that jury, sentenced by a judge, and has been pardoned. That's what I'd like to know. Because make no mistake, I'll be very clear here. It's not okay to physically attack and hurt police officers who are trying to do their jobs. It's not okay. But I challenge you, texter, from the 414 on WAUK's text line, tell me which BLM protester who committed a crime, was convicted of that crime by a jury, sentenced, and was serving a sentence of, say, 22 years like Enrique Tarrio, has been pardoned. That's my question to you. And if you can't come up with a name, I suggest you stuff that commentary back where it came from. We're going to continue this difficult and yet important conversation. I will be friendly, but I may.